Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy connecting the light. We apologise for the slight delay in starting the programme. My guest today is Kerry O'Connor. She is an intuitive guidance teacher for self-empowerment. And when I've looked through her list of all her activities, I'm so surprised. It's a wonder she's got time for anything. She is on a number of radio shows. She is in the course, if not already published, a number of books. She does seminars, workshops, and she does readings. So welcome to the show, Kerry.
Thank you, Michael, for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Yes. Now, I think the first question I would like to ask you, having browsed through your website, is when were you first aware that you had this gift of, shall we say, doing the readings, etc.?
You know, Michael, I don't remember not having the gift ever since I was little. I would see Jesus and Mary Magdalene in my room and what I call the people without legs. And so I remember having seen them coming through the walls since I was 3 years old. So I really don't remember not having the gift.
Right. When did you start to believe or realize that you could use it in the way as an occupation?
When my cousin died when he was 16 years old, and it was a really devastating thing with my whole family. He was like a brother. We're a very close family. And so when he died, it was really shocking with their family. He died a very rare form of cancer. And so what I saw was that I can do readings to help healing and help people. So it was through my own loss of my cousin, who was like a brother, that I saw the healing effects of that readings, comfort that readings could give. And so that started me on a journey that then started me to study all different kind of alternative healing to heal myself before I did readings and continue to work on that. And that's where we are today. So I started the journey a while back.
Yeah, I'm just looking up your notes there. Yes, does that mean that when you were old enough, you went straight into it and you haven't sort of been involved in anything else? Did it come quite naturally in that way?
Yeah, it came quite naturally. And actually, I did do, when I first got out of high school, I was drawn to do hairdressing. And I looked at it first because when I was little, I never said I want to grow up and be a hairdresser. But I realized when I just listened to my intuition, the hairdressing aspect helped me deal with people because I was painfully shy. And so it helped me interact with people, get comfortable being around with people. Then I did go into LPN nursing after my grandfather was sick, and I saw how much the LPNs in particular helped him do the hands-on care. And so when I started doing that, that also gave me the ability to look at, fine-tune the medical intuitive abilities that I'm able to pick up on. So my nursing training helped fine-tune that. So, and then I was at-home mother for a while, and that also helped me have time to really get into different studies and fine-tune. So it's been a life journey for sure, and it's constantly learning and taking on new. I can't get enough of information, and I'm constantly researching it. My astrologer calls me the researcher, so I have to constantly see what's going on out there.
Right. It seems to be quite something that you've achieved. You tell us that you have a unique approach to delivering information directly from the soul, and that you have had and still have, evidently, a lifelong partnership with your spirits and guides, and you maintain a powerful and ongoing interaction with them. And I'll just read a little bit more for our listeners' benefit here. And you have an astounding ability to energetically read a person's life stories by decoding the messages that is found in everyone's energy field. Now, were you then always aware when people were around you that you could tune into them and find that information?
Yes, we're constantly giving each other information. Just think about, Michael, when you meet somebody that you instantly feel comfortable with, the way I see it, there's tubes, everything is, we're all connected by tubes and balls is what I call it. And so those tubes go across, we're constantly given information, and that's where sometimes we feel instantly comfortable with each other and like a soul recognition, and sometimes people, we kind of feel back off, you know, we kind of, it's a prickly energy, all of a sudden I see these prickers, and so that shows me that the people's person is guarded. So we contain all that information within our energy field, and yeah, I could pick up on it. But I believe all of us can. It's just a matter of really fine-tuning it and allowing yourself to get into your feelings and getting out of your head. And I think with myself not shutting myself off since I was little, it helped me continue to stay open. But I really, a lot of the classes I teach people that they can fine-tune their own abilities, because, again, we're constantly exchanging information to each other. And as we are evolving, people are starting to notice it more and getting out of their head and getting into their feelings. And so I'm sure we all had a sense of goosebumps, you know, or, again, a sense of instantly liking somebody, and so your energy field is reacting. So I watch the patterns, and it gives a lot of information. We have trillions of packets of information within our energy field, so it's fascinating to just keep on watching us, the new patterns appearing.
Yes, indeed. Now, I believe you said that anybody can do this. I think it is attractive to a number of people, but I guess there must be different levels of success, and maybe some people like yourself are really cut out for it right from an early age. So do you find that, in actual fact, with the number of workshops and things you take, that although people might progress to a certain level, perhaps they don't all reach the top?
Yeah, I do find that, Michael. But a lot of times what I see what happens with the persons, when I look into their energy field to see why they can't access the whole enchilada, so to say, and what I see that they cut themselves short. They get too much into their mind. They get in their, I call it the gerbil ride. So their mind interferes and causes static, and then that makes them feel doubtful, and then they kind of go around that. So it is a practice, and it is a process. And some people, especially, we're very much a see-it-believe-it society, so we have to see it to believe it. And a lot of people receive information clear cognitively called clear knowing. And even people that are clear cognitive, a lot of times they say, I knew it. I knew that was going to happen, or I knew you were going to call. And those people are clear knowers, but they're not. It's not seeing. So they kind of blow off a lot of the messages that they do receive by knowing. And that's a legitimate portal of receiving information, intuitive information, and people can fine-tune that. And I also see that 80% of the world is primarily their first source portal that they receive information is through clear knowing. It's that knowing kind of sense, and so, and we do tend to be see it, believe it kind of people. So when we start open and start noticing, and again, getting into our feelings instead of our head, we really start picking up on a lot of information that's out there.
Yes, right. Now, for some reason, your voice is a little bit clipped and you're fading sometimes. So I hope that means that you've got the phone in the right position. I'm not suggesting otherwise, just in case there's any adjustment you can make. Now, what do you... hello, Kerry.
Hi.
Right.
Is that better? I did turn my volume up a little bit.
I gather you've got a fan club, and they're already queuing up to have a word with you. But for the benefit of people that aren't looking for a telephone reading, I would like to first cover what sort of makes you tick. Now, what is it you mean when you say you can read their energy field?
Well, Michael, what I do is I tap into their energy. So it's we have a lot of information, and so I open up and I look in and I see what they need to hear now for their growth. And so let's say somebody has trouble with money and relationships and jobs, and what their second chakra, which all that sits, will open up and it'll tell me a story. So I follow the tube or the road that tells me the story, then all of a sudden I'm pulled into a scene. It's almost like Dorothy going to Wizard of Oz, and then I feel, sense, and I get a lot of information of what could be blocking the person, what kind of what's stored up in their energy field. So we, again, contain trillions and trillions of packets of information. We're multidimensional beings, and we're at the tip of the iceberg of understanding what that means. And so we everything that we've all heard over and over again, that all the answers are within, and truly all the answers are within. And so I go into the energy field and get the information right from their energy field. And then I share it. I consider myself a bridger. I'm just delivering the message of what they're already consciously or unconsciously putting in their energy field. So I consider myself, again, part of like a researcher and or a reporter.
Right. So are you actually able to see the aura and the chakras themselves?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, you do. Okay. Is that what you meant by reading the energy field, or is that part of it?
Yep. Yes, that is. I'm able to see the patterns and able to see the people or the guides or whatever have you. They're, sometimes it's their animals, whatever their energy brings me to first is where I go.
Yes, well, that was very interesting to read, that you also get a contact through their pets that have passed over. I have had, on more than one occasion, guests on the show that communicate with animals, so that doesn't surprise me at all. But what sort of messages do the pets bring through? I mean, what is their concern normally?
Their concern, first of all, is that they're okay, and a lot of times when people, especially if they had to put their animal down, let's say, that they could be in a lot of grief. A lot of times people's animals are their children, and so sometimes they're embarrassed how much they're mourning, like they lost a child. And so the first message that the animal gives them is permission to say, it's okay that you had to put me down a lot of times, or they just want them to know that they're okay. It's just a lot of times, like with our relatives, we want them to know that they're doing all right. It's the same thing with the animals. And so they like, but I also communicate with live animals, and so they could tell me if they're what they're upset at. Let's say all of a sudden, I had a client who had a cat that started urinating on the kitchen counter, and she was mortified. But when I tapped into the energy of the cat told me that she was upset that the woman was got another animal, and she was letting her know that she was pissed off, and so she was urinating all over the kitchen to let her know that she was not happy. And so yes, the animals like to give us information. They like to talk to us. They speak very fast. You just have to get on their vibration.
Right. Now, I gather that we have a lady called Eileen who's waiting to have a word with you online too. Are you ready to take a call?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, okay. I think Don's listening in, so he'll probably connect Eileen with you. So just bear with it just for a second or two while we try and make a link there.
Very good.
Okay, we'll still keep talking because Don can let us both know if Eileen is on
very
the line
good.
There. Okay, right. Okay, yeah, I understand the line is apparently there, but Eileen's not on it for the moment, so it seems. So we'll carry on.
I'm actually going to allow your audience to hear me because I'm breaking in quite a bit here, and I do apologize to the audience. I had myself muted, so I'm going to drop Eileen. Eileen, goodbye. Bam. Eileen just went bye-bye. Now, we do have Lisa on line 3. Again, I apologize. Don't know what happened to Eileen. She might have drifted off. Lisa hopefully is here. I'm going to try to put her on now. Lisa? Lisa? Hello?
Your phone ringing.
Well, I guess Elisa's not there. So we're going to knock Elisa, and we're going to answer line 2. All right. You guys might want to just continue till we get somebody who stays on the line for a bit. Okay? All right?
Absolutely.
That's fine, yeah.
Okay.
From reading your newsletters, Kerry, which are very interesting, it appears to me that you have a lot of knowledge as to what is going on in the spiritual world. I see that you, I would guess that you must believe in reincarnation because you talk of getting rid of karma.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume in that event, this is what you help people to do. But of course, what you're talking about is negative karma. Give us an example of the sort of work you've done on that side.
Okay. I had a client that, it was a male client that had trouble on his whole right side of his energy, down from where he had a birthmark, and then he had like shoulder issues. He came in with it when he was a little boy, and but also not only did he have trouble with the right side, but whenever he was trying to achieve something, right when he was going up for a promotion, he would freeze up, and he would his voice would start, and if he felt like he was choking, he would choke up, and so then he would he was very brilliant, but he would always, when it came down to being like the star, and ever since he was a little boy, even with spelling bees, he could get A's on his test, and then he would freeze up right at that moment when he had his light. And when I looked into his energy field, I saw this him turn into a soldier, and he also had a rope around his neck, and so he had a past life, what I call like an energetic hangover. So there's a strong trauma from that incarnation, that he was, right when he was able to speak, he led people through battle. He had a lot of success in wars, and so he was lifted up, and he was doing a lot of combat. And then when they were giving him an award, it was like a coup. People came behind him, they strung him up, and they hung him in front of a whole bunch of people. So he was embarrassed. So there's the feelings of humility, and it was like a lot of people turned on him. So he was like shame, humility, betrayal, and he even held his arm close to himself, his right arm, as if he was in a cast. And when I first saw him, he turned into a guy that had his arm. He was definitely hurt in battles. And so that lifetime was so traumatic that whenever he felt betrayal or whenever he was about to again speak, that energy would come up and start triggering present-day memories, and then he would start getting all shaky, and then he would literally have trouble speaking. So when we talked about the session and when we were able to recognize the feelings, the emotions, the scenes that were connected to it, it was like the rope that he's been carrying around in his energy field that was around his neck was able to be released, because he was carrying it around for a few generations, and so he would constantly choke himself up. And so he was able to release it, identify the feeling, decide to flip it around and turn it around. He saw where he continued to do the patterns. He actually even had more mobility in his right shoulder, and his birthmark didn't totally disappear, but it shrunk in size, like half the size of what it was before. And I have hundreds and hundreds of stories like that, when people have, again, what I call like an energetic hangover, or their cellular post-traumatic stress. We hear about that all the time, of people having post-traumatic stress. Well, it's within our energy field. That could be past life too.
Right. Now, that's a very interesting story indeed. That does bring up a question there about birthmarks, because I read somewhere, and it seems to make sense to me, that, say, for example, I've got a nephew who, when he was born, practically half of one of his cheeks was a scar. But as he grew up, it got smaller and smaller, so it doesn't disfigure his face. But I read that those are signs of wounds that you've had in a previous life, which is what you seem to be confirming.
Yes, yep. A lot of times, my own story, I had this kind of odd birthmark on my left arm, and the more I did healing work and clearing work, it significantly faded. I've had people that have readjusted their back. I had a client who had really severe scoliosis, but when we did the reading and balancing, the spine straightened out unbelievably. And my daughter, with her feet, she all of a sudden, at 7 years old, her feet overnight turned into bunions. It's like they fell apart. And I was going through a divorce at the time, so I thought that she felt like she lost her support, and so it had to do with that. But when I was reading her energy field, it coincided with other trauma when she was 7 years old, and it had to do with her feet being held as a prisoner, as a slave. And so she, the trauma of the divorce with the past life incarnations that wasn't too far in her life, she just, her feet, again, fell apart, so all of a sudden she had bunions. But as soon as we were able to, again, identify, recognize it, talk about it, heal it, her feet went back into shape. And you're talking bunions is bones. You know, and bones is the person that was working with me, I brought her to a cranial sacralist, wanted to take pictures because she couldn't believe the before and after. They were just amazing shots. But, yes, it's amazing what happens when we're able to release that emotion that we could hold on to our energy field for eons, you know, and as soon as we're able to flip it around, release it, then all of a sudden you could get gifts. I had another client that that she was brought up in an orphanage, and she never sat herself in front of a piano, and she was gifted one, and she didn't know what she was going to do with it. She thought she was going to pass it down to her kids, and she did a lot of healing on herself, like her traumatic childhood, and then all of a sudden she was able to play Chopin, so like she's an expert, and actually she's a radio personality on News for the Soul. You could listen to her her playing the piano. She never had a lesson, and so she wanted to know what was going on. She was wondering if she was Chopin in a past life, and so we did this whole show on it, and what she did was be able to heal a lot of her her trauma, and so then we're able to access the gifts that we come into. A lot of times we talk about the trauma and people with birthmarks or that kind of thing that we come over, but we also have gifts within our energy field, and when we're able to clear out, again, the traumatic experiences, then we could tap into the gifts. So I've had people all of a sudden be able to speak a different language. They're speaking, you know, French or old English, and they've never, ever have been taught it, and or people playing something all of a sudden, a piano, flute, and they've never had a lesson in their life. Or I've had people be able to have an instant knowledge of herbs and or homeopathy, and that was something that they did in a past life. So it's fascinating.
Yes. I guess if they're carrying that in their subconscious, presumably, say the person who was in, who knew about herbs before, if they took up an interest in their present lifetime, I guess that would seep through and they would find themselves taken to it very easily.
Right. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. A lot of times I call that like bleed throughs. We have bleed throughs, or the energies from the other incarnations are coming through, because if we remember that energy can never be destroyed, that also includes when we die, there's still that energy signature, still very much is part of our soul essence. And so when that energy is alive, our physical body might not, it goes back to the earth, but our essence is still there, and to all the experiences that we had in that incarnation. And so it is very fascinating.
Right. Why do you think that you receive guidance from angels, guides, loved ones, and pets, in the sense that what would you think would bring, say, for example, the angels through? Do they have a particular interest in some aspect of life?
Mm-hmm. A lot of times when the angels come through, Michael, it's for confirmation. When I'm reading somebody and all of a sudden I see hundreds of angels or Archangel Michael or Ariel, a lot of times it's confirmation. I'll say to the person, I'll say, do you call in Archangel Michael or do you pray to the angels? And their face lights up, even if on the phone they're like, oh, yes, I do. And so it's like, well, he wants you to know that he hears you or she hears you, and they want you to know that they're around you. And so I'll see, again, tons of angels around a person. And it's a message of hope when people could feel hopeless and they could feel very alone, so they want us, them to know that they're around. They're around us, and we call on them, and they could connect with us. And so a lot of it is confirmation, because if people could be calling on them and they love that, and or that they want them to know the angels give us a sign of reminding us who we are. We're all pieces of source, creator, whatever that means to us,
yes.
Having this human experience.
Yes,
so that they have access to them.
I'm thinking back to when I read your newsletter. In fact, you finished that particular one off by saying, be the angel you are as you have the human experience now. So there you are.
Yeah,
I've heard that before, so I go along with that, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned that you occasionally, and I'm using the word occasionally because I don't think this is perhaps as regular, you get guidance from ascended masters as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
Does that happen very often?
Ever since I was little, I saw Jesus, and he would pop in. I grew up with alcoholism, so I learned to call on the guides and the angels when my parents weren't available. And so that had me, I just never, we were taught in catechism that you could call on Jesus and angels, and so I just did it. I never had a doubt that they would come. And so, yes, the masters are there for us to connect to and call and come in on India. And I got to understand the Jesus signature. He came in as I saw him as what I was taught, being raised Catholic. But then as I matured, I see his energy signature, and so he doesn't come in like the guy that a lot of people think he looks like. He's an energy signature that that I could tap into, absolutely. Masters are here for us to be able to to help us. And then we'd have our soul group, and we'd have our own guides. And a lot of times, Mike, what I find is interesting that people could connect to their guides, but when I look in their energy field, it's actually them in a past life.
Where
they could have had some very, let's say they were a medicine person and they had a very peaceful life and they had a lot of knowledge of herbs and just a shaman. And then all of a sudden they feel a shaman presence, and when I look into their energy field, it's actually them in another incarnation. That's open up the door to our multidimensionality. It's absolutely fascinating. But the more we understand, it makes sense that some of our guides can be us in another dimension, if we start thinking about what it means to be an angel, have a human experience, and that we contain all our information around us. And so it does make sense. Not all the time, but sometimes our guides are actually aspects of our higher self or ourself.
Yes. You say you recognize the energy signatures, but presumably that is visual, but I wouldn't mind betting you also recognize their energies anyway. You can feel which one is with you.
Yes, absolutely. They have a pitch, a sound, a color, I could see sometimes it was like hieroglyphic spinning very fast, or sometimes it looks like glimpses of sacred geometry. And they have their own signature, absolutely. And then they go in bands and groups, and so you can have the Archangel Michael's signature groups, and there's people that have the same kind of signature, or just think of color and pitch, and so you could have, you know, that they're with the band of Archangel Michael, and then Uriel has a different color and a different note, and then Raphael, Gabriel, Jesus, Buddha, and but it all goes back to the one, you know. It's interesting to see the different signatures, and not one is higher than the other, but they're sometimes we resonate with somebody more. Some people like to call on Buddha, and some people prefer Jesus, and some people prefer Krishna, and some people prefer Shiva.
Yes.
And so what's fascinating to look is that they all have what I see as a tube that connects them all back to the one, and it's a different signature. And again, a lot of times our preference has to do with our incarnations, that we could have had very peaceful lives studying as a Buddhist or being even a monk ourselves, and so it's something that resonates with us.
Yes. Indeed. Now, when you talk of balancing people's blockages, you apparently give them personal healing sessions. What did you mean by referring to generational patterns? Do you mean hereditary problems?
Sometimes hereditary problems, that's definitely part of it, Michael, but also a perfect example, I was just sharing with a person that one of my grandmothers used to say money was the root of all evil, and my other grandmother used to say someday my ship will come in. And so part of what the generational patterns is what they gave us a very strong opinion about money. One grandmother was saying to us over and over again that it was evil, and if to have money was evil, and the other grandmother was saying that one day my ship will come in, meaning that it's like if she prayed hard enough and if she was good enough, good things like money and opportunities would come with her. So it was both a message of worth, self-worth, that money is not good, and so that's generational patterns that we can hand down to our family members. Just one of my grandmothers sang it like a little song. Someday my ship will come, and she just kind of sang it, and it was just like this little Irish tune she used to sing. And but it profoundly affected all 23 of the cousins. All of us were profoundly affected by it, thinking that that if we have to pray and we have to wait, and if we're good enough, then we will get the goodness, things will come to us. And so those messages are generational patterns, and each and every single one of us are profoundly affected by it. And so we know the typical things like alcoholism in families and again, different inherited diseases, but we also inherit our thought of self-worth or if life is a struggle. So many people think life is a struggle and that you have to struggle or you have to work hard and all work no play, you know, that kind of thing. So those are absolutely patterns that are ingrained in us and passed down. So we want to change those and come much more in balance. Take those that resonate with us, throw out the rest.
Right. Now, when you're teaching people how to become, say, a medium, what do they expect to hear, in the sense that they can recognize when they're actually hearing a voice? Would they hear that in their head? I mean, would that be clear to them that they're actually hearing some other person's voice?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, Michael, it's in their head, and sometimes it's literally outside. Like, I could hear the trees whisper names, or people hear outside, for sure, outside of their head. But sometimes, absolutely, it's in their head. What can be confusing, you brought up a very good point, is when people get messages, and it sounds like from their own voice, and they're like, that's my own voice talking, but it's actually part of their guides or their family members talking. And so there's a difference. There's a signature difference and a feeling difference. So I teach people to get out of their head and go back into the feeling part. And of course, always test the people as far as whoever comes in around you. Give them a test, you know, as far as blow on them with love and just ask them to kind of show their credentials. Is what I teach people, and it just keeps everything clean, you know. And but yeah, people could hear inside or outside of their head.
Right now. What do you mean by talking of our divine heritage?
Divine heritage is where it goes back to that we are all pieces of Source, pieces of God, Creator, whatever that means to us, that we are, we've heard it by Ascended Masters, you can do this too and more. You know, we've heard it by all different kind of Ascended Masters. And so our divine heritage is that is the truth, that we can do this too and more. And part of our journey is remembering, reawakening, realigning, that we're all, it goes back to the angel having the human experience, that we are angels, part of God, Source, Creator. That's our divine inheritance. That's what we come from. That's part of our blueprints. And and then the part of our journey here is remembering, reawakening, and realigning to that.
Right. Now, I'd like to jump on to another aspect of your writings, and again, I'm referring to the newsletter I read. You apparently, I would guess, believe that there is some period coming where we can lift up our vibrations, and you talk of people ascending. So do you actually believe in ascension?
Yes. There's a lot of charge with that word, so I just go back to it goes back to energy, and we're all energy. We're made of energy. We learned that, Michael, in fourth grade, and then we kind of forget it in fifth grade, and then some people think metaphysics is weird, and it's just funny. It just goes back to that we all are made of energy, and so the more we clear ourselves, the more we clean ourselves, the more we work on our shadow, the more we strengthen our energy field, our vibration absolutely does go up. We get whiter and whiter and lighter and lighter, and so that's what I see as ascension. When we work on that, we help the whole. We help ourselves, and then that energy vibration goes out to all the energy grids, and so it absolutely helps the whole.
Right. Yes. Okay, that's fine. I believe in ascension, and there is, of course, a terrific lot of talk about 2012 being a key point in that process. So I wondered what you thought about it yourself.
God, are we going to ask a question? I'm sorry, did I interrupt you, Michael?
Well, carry on. Yes,
okay, 2012, I see that this year, 2010 is a pivotal turning point. And what I'm watching, Michael, is a lot of people are energetically bending toward the year 2012. And what we want to remember is right now what's important is now. And I'm not saying there's not shifts going on in 2012, but we're going to be having a lot of shifts right now, and major shifts right now. I see this is the pivotal turning point year as far as us really being able to a lot of people are seeing where they are afraid and where they feel stuck, and so this is a real turning point year as far as us collectively. I see that we're losing or being asked to look at the global shadow, and that we all have part of the shadow ego. So the more, again, we work with it and recognize that, the more we clear ourselves up, the more we help going out to the grids. And 2012 absolutely is a turning point. But again, I like when I see people start bending, just like if people talk about the past, it's we're not energetically in the now. And so in the now is where we're co-creating the future. And so that means we want to, if we're bending, we're looking, and a lot of people are doing fear and they're contracting their energy. And so we want to make sure we're anchored into the now, because with every thought, word, and deed, we're changing the future. When I look at the Earth grids, I keep on seeing the energy like grids collapsing within themselves and unfolding, collapsing, or just to really keep it real simple, whenever we keep on raising the vibration, we get a whole new deck of cards, meaning different outcomes, different outcomes. And the more we keep on raising the vibration and anchor it in, the more we're changing the different outcomes. And so it's so to really bend forward and look for something then, when right now this is a pivotal turning point for us to wake up. And and a lot of times when people hear 2012, they think, oh, I got a year and a half to get my stuff in order. And there's 2012, December 21st is when I have to be ready. And I would really encourage people that now is the time for us to, again, clear, look at our, recognize ourselves as energetic beings, angels having the human experience. What are you doing now in that department? Clean up your energetic act, so to say. Get rid of our stories and go into our entitlement as far as our divine inheritance, but it also doesn't mean to get all big and fancy about it in separation, because that's another part of the ego, just playing ego and separation. So it's all about connecting to that oneness, and the more we do that, the more it absolutely raises our vibration, and that's helping the whole.
Yes, I think what you're saying also is, really, don't sit back and wait for it to come.
Exactly.
Project the reality that you want, because you rightly say that we're constantly co-creating our reality. So it's up to us, isn't it, to a large extent.
Exactly. I tell people that we could go through this grace and ease or kicking and screaming. Totally up to us. Do you want to do it with grace and ease? Because one thing that's a constant is change. Change and energy changes all the time. So that's for sure. But that's nothing new. We've been doing it forever. And so are we going to, again, go kicking or screaming, or with grace and ease, and do it from our hearts? And it's an unfolding, and it's a process, it's a practice. And the more we do that, the more we energetically feel more grounded, and we start getting out of... So many people, Michael, I see them bending forward, and they're afraid of dying so they don't live. They're afraid of a death of a relationship, or death of a job, or a physical death. And so they're so tight, and they bend forward, and they're just hoping for that future where one day they could rest, or one day they could sit on their laurels. And this is where we want to, again, be in the now, and because we're co-creating the future with every thought, word, and deed, individually and collectively. And so that's where the power is right now.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Empowerment.
I think never has there been a time, certainly in my lifetime, and I'm getting on a bit now, where there has been so much information available to people. And, of course, with the Internet, you could say, as the expression goes, the world's your oyster. So there's really no excuse, is there, for people not doing something.
Right. I see the biggest thing is, well, a lot of times they say, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, and... Mm. Or that kind of thing. And it doesn't cost any money to go when you're in the shower, just to visualize the water as clearing you out, and then get into your heart and send that heart energy out. You know, so, and I invite people to think of, don't have the time. You want to think of that you don't have the time to not do it. You know what I mean? It's just rearranging our thoughts, our perceptions, and it doesn't take a long time. We don't have to go up on a mountain and enchant for 6 hours if that doesn't resonate with us. It's with every thought, word, and deed, we are absolutely putting our vote in, you know. And so the more we recognize that and to become more conscious of it, the more we pause and the more we're mindful about what are we putting out there. To me, it looks like we're spraying like aerosol spray, and sometimes it's like black aerosol, and other times it's like light aerosol. And so if you're spraying the black, have accountability and responsibility for it, and do things to stop spraying it.
Right, indeed. Now, you talk of attracting what you truly desire, and that really is what we've been talking about. But how would you suggest people do that? I mean, assuming that they're wanting things for the good of everyone and not sort of selfishly.
The first thing, when I look in people's energy field, I look into their heart, and that's where we, actually our whole energy field has our deepest desire. It's encoded, it's woven in our energy field as far as our passions, what makes us happier. So again, the answer, Michael, always goes back to the energy of the field. The more we're clearer, the more we're grounded, the more we're energetically open, where I tell people to stand in their... energetic posture of the master, and that's where their legs are 2 feet into the ground, or spread apart in the ground. Their shoulders are back, their head's back as far as going thy will versus my will, and they're open up their heart space. It clears the signature, and then as far as their desires, what they desire, it ups the electromagnetic, it ups the magnetic part of our energy field. So we're able to clear things up and be able to attract things in that we desire. And if we're not attracting, let's say, a job or a relationship, then you want to go in and look into it energetically. Why am I, is there any parts of self-doubt that I'm haven't looked at? Is there a part, do I feel like I'm worthy? And so the answer is always within our, again, our energy field. So the law of attraction got a lot of people into metaphysics for sure, but I agree with you with what you, when you said for selfish reasons, like I will, I'm surely going to help you after I win the lottery. So many people ask me for lottery numbers and that sort of thing, and that they would do so much good if they won the lottery, and they absolutely swear they would help people and blah blah. And part of that is what I see. It's substituting us like sitting down and praying to a matriarchal mother, father, God that's up in the sky that's far away from us, and that goes back to the divine inheritance that we are all, every single master has called us brothers and sisters. You could do this too and more. So yeah. The more we step in that empowerment posture, the more things flow to us, you know, and if they don't, sometimes there is a timing thing. When I look in somebody's energy field and I look at and I see seedlings versus a pot that's ready to get planted, that's my sign of enjoy the gestational period.
Right. And I believe you are a strong supporter of trying to get people out of the idea that they are separated from their source, the creator, and
absolutely.
That they have a higher self.
Yeah, I
think that's right. Now, Kerry, we started a wee bit late, but we still have the full 55 minutes, which, strangely enough, because we've been having such a good chat, is approaching. So what I would like to do is give you a few minutes to tell people about your free readings that you give on your radio shows, perhaps if you want to mention it, your alternative healing venture practice, and of course you'll want to give your website address, so, and email address if you want, so you have a few minutes to yourself.
Okay, very good. You can contact me. I'm on different radio shows Monday through Tuesday and Thursday, and Wednesday I'm on World Puja with a show called Empowerment, and so you could call all those different shows for readings. I give free readings on all of those shows. Empowerment, I do teachings, and on the last day of the month, I do readings that people email. So the email address is union1111@yahoo.com. All of the information, the call numbers, the phone numbers to call for the radio stations and where I'm going to be at is on carrieoconnor.com. And also you could phone call us. Give us a call at 860-887-1201. And the newsletter, to sign up for the free newsletter, is where you get the information. A lot of times I'm guided to give free teleclasses or teleclasses that people listen from around the world. And so that's, again, if you sign up for the free newsletter, you can find out what's happening or just go to the event page and see what's coming up for the month, and all the information is there. So that's on the event side of the new, the website.
Right. And obviously on your website you have all the details of your seminars and workshops.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I'm looking at the clock here. We've still got a few minutes. Having mentioned that you have this alternative healing venture practice, does that mean you actually use natural healing remedies? Is that what it's all about?
That's part of it. I will be guided to look at or different flower essences, and also aromatherapy could be very good for a person, or supplements, that kind of deal. I listen to the body, so all of a sudden I could see vitamin D3, or I could see walnut box flower remedies, or I'll see different, again, formulas, lecithin, that kind of information. But also what I do is during the readings, when I listen to the information from the energy field, when it, think of it's like a magnet, it's able to bring up and it's able to speak, and then the energy starts recalibrating, so there's a balancing there with every single reading, whether the person realizes or not, and that balancing means an opportunity to heal, get rid of the excesses of electromagnetic energy that keeps us off balance, and so that's the balancing. So, and I do that over the phone, you don't have to be here in person, I do the over the phone healings all the time, readings, healings, all around the world, it doesn't matter because energy does not know any kind of boundaries. And your information is able to get discharged and recalibrated.
Right. That's great. You must be a very busy person in light of all these activities you get into.
Yes.
How on earth do you find all the time?
Excuse me?
You like it, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. It's my passion, so the time it's great to be able to do what you love and love what you do, and I worked with the laws of attraction to be able to do that. And I also tell people that it's a part of trusting, allowing, and surrendering, kind of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps sometimes, and going out there. But I absolutely love it. It's a passion, and I feel that we all have the divine right to be able to do our passion and do it for a living. That's where I think I see us going back and remembering that, and just think of all of us doing our passion, and if it's gardening, if it's organic gardening, if it's being a server, a waitress, and just to be able to allow ourselves to do our passion and be able to, when the passion goes down, be able to recreate yourself. That's part of being like creator, and so that's where I see we're going back to remembering that, getting back into balance, and when we do that, it's soul food for everybody. It's soul food. You could tell when people love their work.
You're certainly very passionate about the subject you talk about, without shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Now, one thing you haven't mentioned, I introduced you and said that you were in the process, or may have already issued, the books that you were publishing. Now, have any of those three books that you were writing been published yet?
One of them is going to print as we speak, and the others turned more into booklet worklets, and so those are published, and so they're a series of three of the teachings that I do, but the book is going to is underway right now. It's a lot of editing.
The information will be on your website.
Absolutely.
People
are
interested. Now, thank you, Kerry, very much for coming on to the program. It's been a very enjoyable chat, and you're certainly very full of knowledge. You certainly know what's going on. So thank you for coming on. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Michael, for having me. I really enjoyed it also.
Right. Dear friends, just to let you know that next week I shall has James Taylor, who is also bringing along another guest, Dr. Anderson. And what we're going to talk about is his book called The Assumptions. And it's been written for those stuck in dogma so that he can open them up to more enlightened views. And what he actually does, he lectures on human energy. So there's another interesting topic for our next program. So thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it with me for next week. Thank you all very much. God bless you all.